Future presentation.
Welcome back to another Untitled Movie Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Rohrbeck, alongside, he's allergic to tomatoes, but he is tomato meter approved, Eric Marchin.
Oh, Matt, I was just listening to the Call on Me music video by Eric Prydz, which is a remix of Steve Winwood's Valerie.
Whoa. How are you? I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm just ready to go.
Whoa. Yes, today we are reviewing Ray Mendoza's and Alex Garland's Warfare, starring DeFaro Wunai-Tai, Will Poulter, Cosmo Jarvis, Kit Connor, Finn Bennett, Joseph Quinn, Charles Melton. As people are saying, the internet's boyfriends are all in this movie, Eric.
And you are as well, Matt. You're in this movie. There is an actor in this film that looks very much like you.
I don't agree, but like, hey, I'll take it. He's a handsome dude. So Michael Gandolfini's in it. Noah Centineo. Who are you talking about? Taylor John Smith
is Frank.
Taylor John Smith. Okay.
He does look like you. You two could be brothers.
I'll look him up again.
Look at this headshot. He does look like you.
Does he? I don't know.
He does.
Taylor John Smith. Images. I mean, I get, yeah, the facial hair, I can kind of see the way that he grows some of his facial hair, because my facial hair grows thicker around the chinny chin chin.
Yeah.
And
you two could do like a photo shoot together and be like brothers.
There are a couple shots where he sort of looks like me a little bit.
Do you ever pee into a plastic bottle?
Haven't done that in a very long time, or ever. I don't know. I feel like
I was gonna say I don't know.
There's certain situations where you feel like you might have to, road trips where you can't stop. I mean, you know that I have a weak ass bladder, so I wouldn't put it past me to do that in certain situations. There was when I went to the NHL Winter Classic with my dad and my friends Ryan and Kevin back in 2013 in Detroit. It was 100,000 people in that stadium watching that outdoor game between the Detroit Red Wings and the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that whole arena, it's called the Big House. And imagine, I mean, you just went to Elimination Chamber with us. So you've been in a big stadium and you were just in Boston.
For TD Garden, yeah.
But usually it's like multiple levels, right? And then each level has its own concession stand, washroom kind of thing. This was 100,000 people, one concourse. Ooh. So my dad tried to go to the bathroom at one point, and he's like,
Never came back.
No, he didn't, dude. Like, it was like he left in the halfway through the first period and showed up like half of the game later. And he's like, the washroom line was like 2 hours long. And he's like, so people were peeing in bottles at their seat because and like just like leaving them. Like, it was insane. Anyways, they were way off track. Mendoza. We're talking about Warfare. That was a Simpsons reference, everyone. And if you haven't seen the Mendoza episode of the Simpsons, come on.
I mean, there might be generations that are younger than us that
that's what I'm saying.
Watched it.
I'm just saying, go watch it. You should. Okay, let's talk about Warfare. Alex Garland, continuing kind of, you know, he made Civil War, which was last year or 2 years ago.
Last year.
It was last year. Wow.
Last year.
Teaming up with Ray Mendoza, who is a Iraq war vet.
He's correct? A retired U.S. Navy SEAL vet and military supervisor for films. That's where Ray Mendoza and Alex Garland first met, and they started developing Warfare as a project. And
because he worked on Civil War with him.
Yes,
correct?
As a military supervisor. Yeah. For all like the shootout sequences and the combat of those scenes. And so, you know, like when you're watching this, I think both of us definitely agree on this, is that this is one of the most intense, upsetting, unsettling experiences you could have in a theater. And it really cuts out any of the fat and puts you in this group of U.S. Navy SEALs' perspective, you know, in Iraq in 2006 in Ramadi. And when you're watching it, you just Alex Garland's movies can have a feeling of, you know, single location, very visceral, very much like cut off from the rest of the world. You've seen that in all of his films, and it's very much a trademark here. But what adds that extra edge to it that I think really puts you on alert is how quiet the movie is. When it strips any soundtrack, any music from the movie outside of, you know, me making the joke about Call on Me in the opening, you're always waiting for something to happen. And when it does, the sound design just will pierce your ears. You'll be left as disoriented as the characters in the moment. And I don't even know if I would call this necessarily a movie. It almost feels more like an art piece or, you know, some sort of like sensory deprivation chamber. While you're sitting in the theater, you're completely immersed in it. And you feel as though like this is a very different approach to a war movie, but also two different heads are butting here. You have Alex Garland, who is a known, you know, director, anti-war filmmaker, and someone that's trying to show you that side of the things. And then you have Ray Mendoza, who's trying to give you maybe more of a realistic look because he's lived and experienced it. And even in the opening title, we have, this is based on the memories of these soldiers, not based on a true story or inspired by true events. So that is also a very different, you know, wording and writing of it. And I think that sets you up that this is going to be a very different experience from what you've seen before.
Yeah, I completely and utterly agree. It is more of kind of, it's a real time single location horror movie that doesn't really have a plot. And to your point, is just an experience. You're not really told anything about these characters, anything about the situation that they're in. Yes, you might have some context based off of your knowledge of that 2006 Iraq war and the battle that preceded this. So you kind of might have an idea if you have that historical context in your own memory. But much like this, it just kind of drops you in, fly on the wall, real time, you know, in and out. Doesn't really have a purpose, doesn't really have any of the kind of cliches that you would find in, you know, a hero's journey in some war movie of having to save the day or save the people. It depicts it, like you said, these two sides of one dude who's anti-war and one guy who served in a war. And it doesn't really say it's good, a good thing or a bad thing, and just focuses on sort of the camaraderie of this group of guys and having to get through this situation. And I loved it. It's not really a movie. We keep saying it's more of an experience. And I say it's not really a movie because it is plotless. It's almost characterless. It's almost like
there's no characterizations whatsoever, other than, you know, a couple glimpses.
Maybe their personalities and stuff like that. Yeah. And I think I would just absolutely adored it because of that. And it's visceral and intense and violent. And you already mentioned the sound design, and because of that, and not having a score to emotionally manipulate you. Like, I love a good score in a movie, don't get me wrong. Especially a lot of war movies have great scores and stuff too. But this movie's not trying to kind of manipulate you in any way, in the sense of using, you know, certain tropes that you would find in a movie like this. A movie is inherently political no matter what, and you can interpret that in any way of watching this movie, good or bad. But
like a Minecraft movie.
Sure, inherently political Minecraft. It is almost, it's like, you know, when you're watching like a documentary and you almost get like a reenactment sequence, it almost feels like the absolute highest budgeted reenactment sequence that you could possibly
with a
have.
Great cast of actors are bringing more to the roles than probably what is written, even though it's also paying tribute specifically to Elliot Miller, who was serving alongside Ray Mendoza and is played by Cosmos Darvis in the film. You feel it, Matt. You feel the sweat. You feel the intensity. You know, this group of you know, U.S. soldiers, this platoon, basically, you know, in a sort of taking over this apartment complex and, you know, surveilling potential terrorist threats. And it's about the waiting. You mentioned before how, you know, I think a lot of people will be frustrated that what's the point of this movie?
Yeah.
And I think that is the point, because it's like, you know, what is the point of this war at this point in 2006? Because obviously 9/11 initiated, you know, the war in the Middle East, and, you know, that whole conversation of like, why are we really here? Are we here to seek retribution and justice for those that were killed, or are we trying to take over oil and, you know, colonize a group of people? And so, you know, the other side, we rarely see anything of, because it is from the perspective of the soldier. So those characterizations are even less in terms of, you know, them just being, you know, kind of like classic, almost video game type villains.
In sure, a way, yeah. Just,
you know, point and shoot, or, you know, have to avoid capture or being killed. And the makeup and prosthetics in this are also very disturbing and remind you that maybe you're not completely numb to violence in movies. And I think that's a good thing as well, that it works in showing you that, you know, this can be truly destructive, and bodies can be broken in such horrific ways where you're still alive and feeling the pain. And, you know, we're making fun of certain things. Like I made a joke that, you know, this could have been called Numb Thumb, the movie, you know, pertaining to morphine. But it really does give you a sense of like, okay, this is not the Hurt Locker. You know, this is not
that Call of Duty.
It's not a Act of Valor, you know, like it's something that is kind of in between all of these things, and it finds a lane that feels both, it's not propaganda, but it does feel very much like, okay, we're getting a better sense of maybe what this would be as civilians. And then you have a filmmaker in Garland who is known for a very stylized perspective on things, and is really great at telling, you know, a microcosm story, you know, within sort of the macro of it all. And when you're watching, you know, these troops kind of go through everything, you realize that no matter how, because they're well trained, obviously, you realize no matter how well trained they are, no matter how macho they are, when you're in an unpredictable environment, those things go out the window.
Yeah.
And you will really be tested. And there's no heroism or heroics. It's a harrowing situation. Everybody is doing their job to the best of their ability. And even when you have the second platoon come in and Charles Melton come in, like Charles Melton exudes movie stardom. Like when he comes on screen, you're like, this is a movie star.
Yeah.
But even in that, it's not necessarily this is the hero or the savior of the situation. This is just another guy that is assessing the situation and trying to figure out the best possible way to get things done, even if that goes above what the Call of Duty is.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree, dude. And I think it's you know, it plays like a kind of unnerving horror movie. I completely agree with you with the prosthetics and violence. Like, I think both you and I are people who are pretty numb to that, right? You basically have shot us with morphine when we're watching most violence in movies. But there's something, because of even that first title card of this is based off the memories of these soldiers, of knowing it's something that really took place and really happened to this person. And it doesn't pull any punches in the sense of how these characters are reacting either. Like, it actually becomes so uncomfortable because you just have these guys screaming and people talking over the screaming, and like, and it's
tripping over someone.
Oh yeah. Like stuff like that, that is both played, you know, you can kind of laugh, but you're doing that uncomfortable horror movie laugh where you're laughing.
You need some release.
Yeah. You're laughing because it is so unnerving and uncomfortable that's how you, how I at least get around these situations. And, of watching something, and I haven't squirmed in my seat in a movie like this in quite some time, because usually I'm pretty deadpan when it comes to violence in movies, or I laugh at it in a comedic way because the effects are so over the top or so gory that I kind of, but when you apply that real world, like, it just feels like the most realistic war movie I've seen probably ever, if not in a very long time. And I think that kind of team up between Mendoza and Garland, who obviously worked together on Civil War, and Garland, who's now directed a number of features, and it is mostly probably Mendoza's movie, but Garland was there to kind of shepherd him through the kind of experience of probably giving him, you know, helping.
I think there's
him
another
the whole
reason
thing,
though, that, but Garland, yeah, is doing this as well with Ray. I think like he considers it more to be Ray's movie than his, but having talked to Alex Garland three times over, gosh, like almost like 15 years, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Or 14 years with Ex Machina, Annihilation, and Civil War. Actually, you can go and check out the Civil War interview I did with Alex Garland here on the podcast. The one thing we talked about on the Civil War interview is, does he believe in the auteur theory? And yeah. I think this is a way of him dismantling that in a way, because he doesn't like, you know, the idea that he's taking full credit for something that is a very collaborative effort. And it's the same way that this is a collaborative effort between a group of young men put in a situation
yeah.
where no one is the, you know, true sort of
sure, leader. There's a captain or something like that. But
you
it's
have
definitely
to work together in yeah. order to survive. And I think that is, you know, like the Brutalist being a metaphor for, you know, filmmaking. I think this is also a metaphor for how a collaborative effort works, you know, with people putting something together and, you know, trying to make the best version of something possible. I feel like this is Garland at his most stripped down. And it's such a shame that he's toying with the idea of retiring from directing, because I do think he is a very talented
I agree
director,
but it's I think it's almost it's something that you just talked about, where he views it more of as a collaborative effort, and maybe he doesn't like some of the responsibilities from directing, and or not necessarily maybe
the
responsibilities yeah, I think there's a lot of it that he doesn't vibe with, or having I don't know exactly, he's talked about it, you can look up interviews and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, there's but a great interview with him and Neil Druckmann, right?
Yeah, yes, which is available right now. We'll mention Last of Us in every review we do for the next year. Yeah, Garland, I think him writing movies, and I think that's what he really loves doing, and then passing it off to someone who he can collaborate with, I think is kind of what he said he wants to go back to, right? So
well, because he's got 28 years later yeah. coming up, so
and he started him. As a writer, right?
So, well, he started yeah. as an author, because he yeah. wrote The Beach as a book, right? And so yeah. But he did start in screenwriting and working specifically with Danny Boyle, but you know, Ex Machina was his first film, his first feature, and then from there he's done a lot of stuff, and like even Devs, I really like all of the stuff he's done.
I want to watch Devs, I just haven't. Yeah,
he's so good at a very specific style of filmmaking that that's like, it's almost like he's doing the thing that we've talked about before with like M. Night Shyamalan and Yorgos Lanthimos and Wes Anderson and, you know, people like that, where they have such a distinct style that they're never going to win maybe anyone new over. But if you like what they're doing, you'll be engaged with it, or at least yeah. you'll appreciate that they're doing their own thing and they're bringing that back. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the reteaming of Danny Boyle and
oh,
him
same,
because
yeah.
it's going to be, like those trailers for 28 Years Later, I think are some of the best ads I've seen this year for a movie. And like, they work so well because it doesn't feel like cliched horror stuff, but it still gives like the intensity of what those original two movies were like. And, yeah, Garland is just a very talented, you know, technically interested and savvy filmmaker, and somebody that, you know, when you listen to him, when he cares about something, he is so articulate and detailed. And when you're watching this, even though it is stripped down, there are these little moments. Like I loved when DeFerro Wunatai, you know, has this little smirk with Cosmo Jarvis's character, like just little things like that, like that give you enough information about, you know, the camaraderie between certain characters. And
yeah,
you know, those little things that I think, you know, it doesn't make it like corny or cheesy, but it does add a little bit of humanity into a movie that is very austere.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think it's a must see. I think
theatrically,
you,
yes.
I think you should try to see it, you know, either in IMAX or a big screen format. It's not necessarily from the spectacle side, just from the intensity side. Like yeah. we saw it in IMAX, right? Did we? No, we saw
no,
it in AVX.
No, no, no.
AVX?
Yes, AVX. AVX.
But I know it was playing in IMAX as well, even though Minecraft has probably taken most of those screens. But seeing it in a large format, I think it's not something like 40x would be in poor taste. Like I hope it's not
oh,
playing
yeah.
that.
That
but
would be
like, but I think a large format where it does have like much like Civil War, like jump scares from the sound design and stuff like that.
We
and,
both, I mean, I'm a jumper just because of sound.
And I'm not, but
you jumped and that shows you how effective this movie is. And I think it's just good to realize that it's like, you can still feel these things.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you see a lot of movies and you worry that there's a disconnect now between, you know, the visuals that you're watching and your own humanity. Yeah. But it's there with this. And so, yeah, it's a really solid film. And it just reminds you that, like, this is not a movie that's trying to manipulate you for, like, oh, this is going to be an Oscar contender. Or this
no.
Because, you know, we got a lot of, like, there seems to be that every decade or so. Like, after the Vietnam War in the 70s into the 80s, you got everything from The Deer Hunter to Platoon. And there was a lot of Vietnam movies. And then when you got into the 90s and in early 2000s, you got, you know, the Gulf War. And then, like, when we were starting to get Iraq movies in,
totally,
you know, that, like, around 2006, 2007, because, like, even something like, you know, United 93 and World Trade Center, we got at the
those were very
same
soon.
Time.
Yeah. Almost too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, United 93, I think, is a great movie.
I actually
World Trade
agree,
Center, you know,
is
debatable.
That exactly what we're talking about? The manipulative kind of, like, kind
super
of
hokey.
But again, I don't mind World Trade Center, but it is very much it doing that what I talked about. Yeah. Again, it's been a long time since I've seen it, and I think because it was so fresh at the time, that overly manipulative kind of thing could work at the time because of that. But when you go back and watch it in hindsight, it doesn't necessarily work. But yeah, I definitely think you should see this movie. Try to see it in theaters. I think it is excellent. It is uncomfortable and unnerving, so go in if you don't do well with gore and stuff like that. I'd maybe skip.
You're gonna
it,
be gripping your seat and holding your breath and, like, just feeling like, and that's the thing. It's like a lot of the time nothing happens, and I think like that is the whole point of, like,
it even takes a while to get going. War, yeah, know? It's pointless war. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
There
Say
we go.
It again.
Thank you everyone for listening. We really do appreciate it. We have a review out for The Amateur right now that you guys can go check out as well. Those are the kind of two movies that came out this past weekend. We also have a review of season 2 of The Last of Us, completely spoiler free, that you guys can check out, as well as on our other channel, The Cast of Us, an HBO untitled Last of Us podcast. We have recaps for now all of season 1 of The Last of Us. You can go back and get those recaps, as well as a recap for the season 2 premiere future days over on that channel, as well as that review as well. Eric has a Film Junk crossover podcast that will be dropping this week, which is really, really awesome. Very funny, very passionate. They're celebrating 20 years of Film Junk, and Eric had a wonderful conversation with them. That'll
Guinness
be up
Book
soon.
Of Records, baby, for you know,
that's
the
crazy
longest running
movie
podcast.
Did you know that Guinness is the beer Guinness? Because I didn't until recently. And then it all makes sense now. It's just like the Michelin tire company having the Michelin star food things.
We're all product. It's all product placement.
The Guinness Book of World Records, I'm pretty sure, is the same Guinness that makes delicious beer.
I tried
beer.
A zero Guinness, a non-alcoholic Guinness. It was terrible.
Oh, I like it. I like non-alcohol. I like alcoholic Guinness too, but I'm cutting down on drinking after Elimination Chamber. So I have a couple of non-alcoholic Guinness in my fridge.
Zero Guinness, right?
Guinness zero. Also, Eric has interviews with David Cronenberg coming out, as well as I'm missing one. Is there
Steve Newburn for Until Dawn?
Yeah, cool. All right, and then you can follow Eric and I on all the social medias at Matt Rohrbeck. You can follow us and AM6211 and Eric Marchin, as well as on Letterboxd, which is Untitled_Movies. Thank you again, everyone, and until next time.
If they didn't call this warfare, they could have called it the Piss Locker.
God, what a terrible end to an intense movie. Bye, everybody.